Hi, I'm Wendy, and welcome to the Foster Parenting Podcast. We hope to educate and inform our friends, family, and anyone who wants to listen about our lives as foster parents. Well, you notice something different today. Tim is out of town, actually out of the country. Tim's brother Ben is getting married in India this week. So I have been flying solo here as mommy and daddy for the past 4 nights, and after tonight, 6 nights to go. So it's a long road, and if you are a faithful listener or a friend of ours, you'll remember that last time when I left town for almost 1 week, the girls just went haywire, and so we knew then that I wouldn't be able to go to India, that we would need to have one of us stay home, otherwise it would really get out of control with two of us being gone. So I would say that definitely with Tim not being here for the past 4 nights, we've seen some stress. Each of us, I and Andrea and Linda, have been showing stress in different ways since that first night. But today just went over the edge. I mean, it was a continual tantrum on and off for Linda and somewhat for Andrea. At one point, they pretty much had a coup against me and decided to, I had disciplined them in a certain way. I had told them that they needed to go outside and run around, and I watched out the window. I watched Andrea say, "We don't like her. You don't like her, right? We don't like her. Let's go play. We don't like her." And then Andrea continued to sulk as she tried to play despite me, even though playing is what I wanted them to do. Anyway, you can't really make sense of 4-year-old and 3-year-old behavior. Well, despite all that stress that we're feeling, it's also just been fun to be home with them and have girl time and have a weekend with them. It's definitely more intense by myself, but I'm getting to know them better too as I hang out with them on my own. Okay, a few cute stories from this weekend that I've been collecting for you. For the past week or two in our house, it's been all about the Wizard of Oz. They love the movie. They love the scene with the Munchkins. Actually, in Tim's CD that he made for them before he left for India, he sang the Lollipop Guild song, and they just go crazy every time it's on. It's the Lollipop Guild. And, you know, I did think about whether or not The Wizard of Oz is a good idea for kids at ages 4 and 3. It's pretty tame compared to Disney movies, but it also talks about dying and killing. There's a wicked witch, and there's the whole scene with the Wicked Witch. "I'm melting, melting." Just kind of scary for a little one. But they had already seen that movie before they came to us, and they knew the movie. So I've been letting them watch it. And they've been watching it over and over and over, especially as the TV is kind of a babysitter now that Tim is gone and I need to do dishes and clean the house and things like that. So just a couple of little stories related to Wizard of Oz. Yesterday, we were driving to the park, and Andrea was singing, "Follow the yellow pink road, follow the yellow pink road," and she kept singing "yellow pink road." Now, I should know by now just to let her sing it, but I, for some reason, said, "Actually, Andrea, it's yellow brick road." "No, mommy," is what I got back. "It's yellow pink road." And what came after that was probably a 15-minute conversation where I was trying to use logic to convince her, and she was insisting that she knew it was a yellow pink road. Well, this morning when we watched it again, and they started singing the song, "Follow the Yellow Brick Road," I was going to point out to her that it's actually a yellow brick road. Well, she pointed out to me that, yes, it's yellow. You know how they start? This is for you Wizard of Oz fans out there like me who grew up watching it 100 times. They start in the spiral, right? And it's just a little bit of yellow. But you know what color is next to it on the spiral? It's pink. So she pointed out, no, it's a yellow pink road. Meanwhile, I'm trying to argue with her that I know how to read and I have read, you know, the lyrics or whatever I'm trying to argue, that it's actually yellow brick road. So we still have the ongoing discussion. Those of you who know Andrea, if you want to, you know, take my side next time you see her, I'm sure she really loved that. I would. Another story about that. Just the past couple of days, she has said out of the blue a couple of times, "Mommy, I want to be hickory. I want to be hickory." And I'm saying, hickory? The only hickory I know of is that our neighbors have a horse named Hickory. And so I thought maybe that when they went to get the mail with Daddy, sometimes they were seeing Hickory and talking about Hickory. But I asked her, "Is that the horse?" And she said, "No, no, I want to be Hickory." Well, then having the Wizard of Oz songs in my head after listening to them over and over, I was singing "You'll Go Down in History." And she said, "Yeah, Hickory, I'm going to be Hickory." And that's what she was saying. Okay, so that's Hickory. And then the third little story from Wizard of Oz was tonight, Andrea and Linda were in the bath. They were taking a bath, and I stepped out of the room to make a phone call. And as I'm talking on the phone, I hear splashing, and then I hear one of them saying, "I'm melting, melting." And then I hear splashing again, and the other one saying, "I'm melting, melting." So I guess it has gotten to them, for better or for worse. They are definitely internalizing the lessons of Wizard of Oz. And go ahead and post a comment on the blog about what you think about that. So anyway, in Tim's absence today, I was thinking about what to share. And I guess what's really been on my mind is moving. We shared in the last episode that we have purchased a home. We're in escrow right now. And Lord willing, we'll close on the house in mid-December and move just before New Year's. And so, you know, in thinking about moving, there's, of course, special considerations when you move with children, and especially special considerations when you move with foster children. Now, this episode isn't about moving a child to a different family. It's about moving your family with a foster child. And what also makes it really easy for us is that we're moving within the same county. And so we can stay with the same agency. All we have to do is get our home, you know, re-licensed, have them do a different walkthrough to make sure it meets all the standards. But there's really nothing logistically in terms of fostering that changes for us. Now, if you're moving, you know, from county to county, the considerations would be, is it still close enough to have visits, if the child still has visits, and to go to court, things like that, for the social worker to come out. You know, they'd have to approve keeping the child in your home after you move. And then the other question would be, if you're fostering with an agency, does that agency have a license in your new county? And if they don't, then it would be a much more difficult thing logistically to be able to foster in a new county, because you'd need to get certified or licensed with a new agency. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about today. Our move is within the same county. So really the biggest question is, how can we make this the least stressful move for our girls? Whenever you move with children, there's concerns. And I did some research on the internet and found dozens of websites talking about moving with children and how to make it as the least stressful as you can with them. And I'll put a couple of links to some of the better articles I found on the website, fosterpodcast.com. But basically, they all agree about a few things. And I would say that these things are true for all kids, but especially for foster kids. We've said over and over that Andrea and Linda, we are their seventh foster home. And as far as we know, they've never moved and stayed with the same family. So it's a lot of times to move as a child when at age three, you've moved seven or eight times. But even more traumatic, much, much more traumatic, if every time you moved, you were moving to a different parent. So that's been something that's been in the forefront of our minds as we've been preparing for this move. So I'll talk about that some. First thing that most people agree with is that you need to do a good job of saying goodbye. With children, you don't want to just, you know, pick them up and minimize their sadness about leaving their friends, their house, their school. You want to do a good job of saying goodbye. And Tim and I actually both have lived overseas in the past. And something that you get told when you're training to live overseas is that you're going to be saying goodbye and hello a lot of times. It's just a very transient culture, the culture of people who live overseas, and who are expatriates or missionaries. And one of the things that somebody taught me in training was healthy goodbyes are part of healthy hellos. Which means that if you do a good job saying goodbye and really grieving the fact that you're leaving people and things and, you know, an atmosphere that you love, you're going to do a better job of coming to a new place, ready for that new place. So they encourage you to, you know, let your children know far enough in advance that you're going to be moving and why, and then help them throw themselves a goodbye party. You know, do a good job of, you know, making some kind of ritual, maybe going through each child in their class and talking with you about what they'll miss about that child. Just ways to really help them see how valuable the people have been in their lives. I think that's going to be a big thing for our kids, especially because they're leaving their school. They love their little school. We have a great Christian preschool, and we're going to be living half an hour away, so they're going to need to attend someplace else, and that's going to be difficult. Okay, the second thing that is recommended is to explain what's going on and to use simple language. Somebody even recommended using toys, like using cars and little houses to show that you're moving your things there, you're moving people there. And, you know, explaining what's going on in a move isn't always what it is for adults, might not be what it is for kids. For example, when Tim and I were on the computer looking at pictures of our new house the other day, Andrea happened to walk in. And so, you know, she asked what the pictures were, and we thought, what better time? So we said, well, this is a new house. This is a new house where we're going to live. And the house is vacant right now, so it was just pictures, you know, of empty rooms. And we showed her the picture of her room, and we said, this is going to be your room and Linda's room. And her response wasn't, oh, wow. Her response was, but where's my bed? And that's something, you know, that we don't think of as adults. But for her, the biggest thing was, what, I'm going to sleep on that floor? What about all my stuff? So they need to understand, you know, you need to tell them that kind of stuff. And actually, one of the articles I read had this great quote. It said, walk around your house with your child. Have him point to things and tell him, yes, your bed is going to the new house. No, that wall is going to stay here. The point was, they may or may not know, you know, what kinds of things actually come with them. All your toys come with you. Your clothes come with you. Now, for our family, we are making a huge deal of who is moving. And so we will just recite over and over, now, who's moving to the new house? And we'll say, Daddy and Mommy and Andrea and Linda and Pigeon the cat. We're all moving to the new house. We're all going to live in the new house. We talk about what it's going to be like to live in the new house, because our girls don't really understand that moving to a new house also means moving with us. In that way, I think will actually help us to bond with them more, for them to see that, you know, this is a different type of move than they'd ever had before. But at the same time, there's going to be stress. Another recommendation is to stick to routines. People who are already parents already get this, and it's something that I didn't necessarily get when I first became a parent to Andrea and Linda, but now I'm starting to get, or if I took a crash course, I guess you could say, just that, you know, even if you're in the midst of holidays, even if you're in the midst of moving, kids need routines. They need to sleep at the same time. They need to have familiar foods. So for us as adults, if we're going to get takeout for, you know, the week before and the week after our move, that's not a huge deal. I mean, it might be a huge deal for our heart or our weight, but not for our stress level. For kids, that's hugely different than, say, the macaroni and cheese or, you know, whatever foods they're used to eating on a daily basis. Same with sleep. And then finally, don't pack treasured items until the last minute. That's been hard for me because honestly, it seems like they have a lot of treasured items. I'm not sure what the most valuable things are to them, but the idea is you don't want to pack up their favorite blanket. You don't want to pack up their favorite toys or their familiar toothbrush. You know, whatever is really special and familiar needs to stay with them and be consistent. So don't pack treasured items until the last minute. Well, all that comes down to this. Moving is a stressful time for us as adults. For me, it's extremely stressful right now thinking about everything we need to do, plus getting everything connected, hooked up, getting some appliances that we need, redoing the flooring, all the packing and all the labor, getting friends to help, etc. It's a very stressful time. But, you know, when we're stressed, our tendency is to pay less attention to things like what's going on for our kids. And the lesson is just, instead of paying less attention, we need to pay more attention to them while we're moving. as difficult as that's going to be, the most important thing for me is not how easily the couch gets moved, or even if the couch gets moved without getting a tear in it, but it needs to be how well my kids do in adjusting to the fact that we're moving and the new home and our continued relationship with them. All right. Well, that's it for today. I really missed him. I don't know if I'll do another episode before he gets back. He gets back on Sunday, which I think is the 9th of December. I may do another episode before he comes back, but as you can tell, I really miss him. So I hope to talk to you again next week, but maybe I'll wait till he comes back. As you can tell, we're learning a lot about foster parenting, and we agree it can be a crazy system, but the best way to do something about it is to become a foster parent yourself and provide a safe, stable place for kids. And there's nothing wrong with that. So if you have questions or want to comment, again, please visit our blog, fosterpodcast.com. Thanks for joining us.